You're listening to Sync Beast. I'm Graham, your host, and after I hit six figures as a sync producer, I made it my mission to turn sync into a game that I could play and win year after year. With a simple creative strategy, intense production techniques, and pro-level mindsets that got me there faster than I could have ever imagined. I want to sell the farm so that you can create a profitable sync catalog, produce for sync with confidence, and actually improve your lifestyle as a sync producer. I'm here to let you know that sync is just a game, and I'm going to show you how to play it coming up. What is up? Today, we're going to talk about a thing. It's a thing right now. And it seems like this thing is a topic that I'm responding more and more to these days. And to tell you the truth, I really don't like it. And that is the idea that sync is saturated. More people come in every day. Sync is really hot right now. Enough people have finally seen a promise that sync has to offer, and they see some safety in it. But, you know, forget about all those years that they sloughed off and didn't take action. They sat around saying, no way, I'll never sell out. Or sync is just fake music for people who can't write real songs. People have been saying that for 10 years now. And they're just now feeling FOMO. They're feeling late to the game because they realize that sync has always had this promise. Sync has always had great returns when you play it right. Was it easier 10 years ago? Maybe. I mean, anything could sync back then. Standards were lower, and using real, authentic tracks in advertising was just kind of coming to fruition, so to speak. It had been done for years and years, like with Apple and whatnot, but they were the exception. Big brands that felt untouchable to many producers and artists and songwriters. Those big brands started to see the benefits of using real tracks in their campaigns because it added a layer of accessibility to the brand. It's a simple concept. It basically created a greater sense of familiarity, a greater sense of credibility. Like, we associate with this artist that you listen to. We must know you. We see it constantly. Brands became tastemakers over time in terms of music and how it's used. And bonus points if those tracks could speak to the message of that brand or their product. When the music elevated the brand's message, that's when the magic happened. And advertisers started to leverage that and recognize it as its own thing, its own art form. Because it took some years to really normalize. And right around 2016, 2017, it's when I really started to see brands kick it into gear and double down on this new way to leverage music. And naturally, a very select few artists and producers rose to that occasion. They saw the patterns. They saw that it worked. And so they put the pedal to the metal on that and only that. That's what I saw. They didn't care if it was out of their lane. They didn't care if they felt like an imposter. They didn't care if they were selling out because they had one mission. And that mission was to make more money in sync, to literally feed the beast so they can monetize what they're already so great at making and so they can live a better life because of it. They studied what brands bought and they made it. And I realized that if you're not used to the sync beast language, the lexicon, like the businessy sync beast way of thinking about music, that probably sounds not very fun to you. And to that, I say, you're not doing enough in the way of sync. You're not putting forth enough effort to produce things that sync. You're not making enough music that will potentially sync. You're not making enough new things, things that are new to you. They're novel concepts, musically and stylistically. You're not going out on a limb enough. You're not taking enough risks. And that's fine if you're making listening music, like music that you make that lives on Spotify. That's fine. You don't have to take so many risks over there because you have a brand to worry about. And that brand needs to be consistent over time as an artist. I totally understand that. I get it. But the people who figure out the game of sync are the ones who press on and they do hard things. They get uncomfortable. They show up when they don't feel like it and they get it done. And that's not just my opinion. I lived it. Like, I had this experience. I've seen too many returns in other respects, focusing on other things, doing more things. I could never sit still as I grew in my production composition career, whatever you want to call it. I could never settle with doing just one thing, especially when it came to something like genre, for example. Like, when I was learning how to write songs, I tried freaking everything, dude. Like, everything. Bluegrass, metal, jazz, acapella, folk, EDM music. Like, I couldn't sit still. And I truly believe that set me up for a career in making music for advertising. Because there's so much opportunity in so many different little pockets. And I'll circle back on the saturation thing in just a moment, but I want to let you know that I saw where the value was in this industry by doing custom jobs. So fast forward, after I learned how to write songs, I kind of moved that directly into commission work for brands. That's a story for another time, but basically all you need to know right now is that I cut my teeth doing custom demos for companies like Marmoset. They'd have me on projects for brands like Coors and K2 Sports, Corona Beer and Coke. Like, these were brands I could barely even dream of having a shot at writing music for. So many brands, so many demos, and they all asked for something different. Some of it overlapped, but for the most part, the nuances were different enough from one another, from project to project, that it felt like I was getting a ton of variety under my belt. So essentially, I was getting paid to not sit still. And that totally aligned with who I was, you know, at 20, 21 years old. You know, I was a bottle rocket back then. Of course, that was a while ago, and my priorities have changed. My life looks a lot different in so many ways. But nevertheless, I have found a way to continue experimenting, to continue to not sit still and modify my approach so that I can stay at the forefront of the changing industry. And that includes this idea of saturation. Again, I hate it. I hate it when I hear people say that phrase because it just tells me that they can't see where the actual value is today. They can't see where the money is made. And that sucks. It totally sucks because they don't realize that there is a series of doors and they don't all open at the same time. That's fantasy. And that's what keeps people held down, believing that sync is just some pipe dream. They stumble on other producers' Instagrams. They see them posting their syncs and thanking agencies for the opportunity. And then they keep scrolling. They get jealous. They feel like they can't have that thing. So they keep scrolling. And that's why I believe this idea of sync getting saturated is so poisonous. I think it's so dangerous because it perpetuates this belief that they can't have what the few have, or that the few who are actually doing the work, they're doing enough. They're taking risks. They're making moves. The few who choose to show up, even when they don't feel like it, and make the things that they're totally not feeling, and maybe, just maybe, are selling out, are on some stupid pedestal. That's what the people see, the people who get jealous when they're scrolling and they see other people's syncs. That's basically what's happening. They move the people actually doing work into this untouchable or out of reach space in their mind, basically saying they have something special. I'm not special. And that could not be further from the truth. It could not be more of a lie. I used to be jealous. I used to be that. And it sucked. I saw other people get so many sinks, so much work. And I was just a studio rat, building up my catalog one track at a time, feeling really bad about myself. And it was my fault. I chose to get jealous, basically. I chose to look at them and put them on a pedestal, which put me lower and made me believe that I couldn't have what they have. From all of the changes I've been able to witness over the years, I've learned that opportunities are everywhere. They're everywhere. And the people who seize them are the ones who can spot them. That is it. If they can spot the opportunity, then it gets a whole hell of a lot easier to capture it, to seize it, to take advantage. And I believe that spotting those opportunities, learning how to do that, comes from subjecting yourself to more and more and more every day, every week, every month, by studying what sinks, by studying what other producers are doing, by looking at their creative choices, by emulating their production quality, by increasing your standard for what you make, and by constantly having your antenna up no matter where you're at. Like, you don't take a pee break when commercials come on during the football game, okay? Like, that's just a no-no at our level. And when you do that, you keep that antenna up no matter where you're at, you can essentially subject yourself to an unlimited fountain of inspiration. Because advertising is everywhere. Ad music is everywhere. And now it's so popular that you could just go to libraries on the internet and listen in your free time. Punch in some labels, some mood tags, whatever, and just listen to what pops up. I'm serious. Again, that's probably something that does not sound fun to you. But is making money fun? Like, is your music making money right now? Are you having fun right now? The simplest way I can put it is your actions and decisions have created your situation. It's only ever your fault. That probably sounds harsh, but no one's going to change things for you. You have to be the one to do that. You have to be the one who is always on guard, always on offense, always looking for something to soak in and leverage in your own music. I'm telling you, I lived it. Seriously. Some of my biggest sinks came from songs that came from me just listening and just being aware. It's free. It's free. It's hard, but it's free. Like, there is so much opportunity to subject yourself to what works. There's so much opportunity, in fact, that it almost renders the idea of sync being saturated as a fallacy. Like, it doesn't make sense. Again, unless you simply refuse to put in the work and get an ear to the ground on what brands are buying right now. Because I'm telling you, this mental model absolutely changed my entire life. It changed the way that I look at building songs that brands want to buy. It changed the way that I attach myself emotionally to tracks. And like the actual emotional investment I make into them. And most importantly, it changed the way that I earn money and make a living for myself in ways that I could never have imagined. And I don't say that in some wishful, daydreamy way, you know, pipe dream thing. Again, I'm literally not special. I just kept my ear open. Anybody can do this. And yes, I have a program designed around how to build tracks that sync predictably. But anybody can do this. Anybody can start. Anybody can sustain. And that's what I love about the state of where sync is at right now. This is truly what I believe. And I wish that I could just find everybody out there who believes that beating the so-called saturation in sync myth, there you go, I'm calling it a myth, the ones who believe that it's a pipe dream and actually getting a shot at a big brand pitch, treating that experience like it's so far out of reach They might as well not even give it a go. They might as well not even try. I want to find those people and shake them and wake them up and say, sink is only saturated because you believe it is. And you're going to remain blind to that fact until you find a way to look at sink for what it is, which is a game. You need to believe that you can build your music in a very specific way that is not going away anytime soon if you're to win the game. And of course, you need to believe that there's unlimited, validated inspiration out there for you to absolutely exploit and emulate in your own music. Yes, it means you have to shed some ego. Yes, it's going to take some white knuckling at times. Yes, you're not always going to want to show up and do your best work. I don't. The people who are diving in head first right now because they feel massive amounts of FOMO is never a sound strategy for anything. Making a choice based on fear is never a sound strategy. It's a good reaction. It'll keep you alive, but it's not necessarily a sound strategy. And those are the people who will get in. They'll realize writing tracks that libraries actually want is hard, and then they'll quit. They'll fizzle out. They'll go back to blaming the industry for being, I don't know, too capitalistic, and they'll find more reasons to believe that they don't fit in this world. When the reality is, we all don't fit in some respect. What we do in sync is unnatural when compared to what we've been trained to do on our own in production and songwriting and composition and writing lyrics and melody. All of that stuff that's been conditioned in our mind over the years. You know, we all grew up on listening music. Music for the sheer purpose of listening and enjoying entertainment. We didn't grow up watching commercials and being like, wow, this music is life-changing. I mean, some of us may have, but it's an unnatural thing to take art and commoditize it. It feels icky to people, which is why for most, it's a rare thing to actually do it, to figure out how to take what you're good at, rearrange some pieces in the right way, and then profit off of it. It's unthinkable to some people. It's not just music for passive entertainment. It's music with a purpose. It serves brands. It calls out to their customers. It calls out to the people with problems. And it elevates a brand's message for how they solve those problems. Do you see how much deeper of a purpose that is than some random-ass love song you hear on Sirius XM or Spotify? We're talking two completely different games. The way we think about the music, that's an advantage. The way we write the music, that's an advantage. The ways we produce our music to sound a certain way, again, it's an advantage. And the way we carve space into our track to allow for everything that goes on in a big brand ad, that's an advantage. The way we strive for the best production quality and how we make investments into the right teams, you know, money, time, energy, to achieve that production quality, that's an advantage. And at the root of all of this is finding a way to get an advantage on every angle. Hopefully you're seeing this. Everything I just listed is what makes a library say, yes, we want this music. You pitch it to them and they go, yep, can't wait to pitch this to our clients. It has all the right things. It checks all the right boxes. Musically, creatively, intentionally, psychologically, production-wise, quality-wise, messaging-wise. It's the total package. And libraries have a hard time saying no to assets. Notice how I say assets. They have a hard time saying no to assets of that standard. We have to think of our music as an asset, a quality asset. It's a thing that earns money. It drives revenue. It speaks to brands. It elevates messages. It connects with consumers. And the coolest part about it is that you can bring your own talents to the table. You can meld the two worlds of art and business together to create something that behaves the way a money-making track behaves. but also sounds the way that a high quality, authentic, you know, Spotify track sounds. I always tell people at SyncBeast, we focus on creating highly syncable or useful tracks while wrapping them in authentic, believable production or aesthetic. Essentially, we help people build workhorse tracks that sound and work exceptionally well for sync, but could also land on something like an editorial Spotify playlist, which is obviously a very, very secondary, maybe even tertiary goal. But nevertheless, the believable workhorse tracks, the high function and high form tracks, is the goal. It's the target to shoot for. You want to fill your catalog with tracks that check all the boxes for libraries and clients and people who buy and sell music. But you also want to check the boxes in terms of how that music hits the ears and the hearts of people. Because if the song, the actual composition, sucks, it doesn't matter how good the production is. It's not going to perform. It's just not built for sync. And here's why. The untrained ear is exposed to so much good music that it can hear a fake song. There are people out in the world who do not make music. They watch, you know, Selling Sunset, and they know right away, this is not a real song. It's insane. So in order to stay ahead of the curve, ahead of the so-called saturation, you need to find a way to instead make those people say, oh, damn, what's this song? Like, hold on, shh. I got to Shazam this. You see what I mean? Can you see how that's a different level of thinking? It's a higher standard to hold your sync tracks to. That's exactly what I hope to change for so many producers and songwriters and artists in sync right now. That's what I want. Whether you've been in it for a while or you're just now dipping your toes into that vast, massive world, you're always going to need to sharpen this mindset, this mental model. Because again, it does not come naturally. And you have to think about it like this. If it did come naturally, then there wouldn't be people making an absolute killing with their sync tracks today. Because getting those big brand placements, the ones that pay, would be so commonplace. The value per sync would drop, essentially. That's how the market would look. Everyone would have a slice of the pie, and there really wouldn't be anything to write home about. But that's not the case. And yet we still have people acting like it is, talking about sync like that. And they're blind to the fact that they simply cannot see the opportunity before them. They're not the ones who deserve that opportunity. They're not the ones who deserve the responsibility. Because it tells me that they don't appreciate sync for what it actually is. They don't appreciate the mechanics of the game. But if you made it this far, then I hope you do. And even if you feel like you have no strategies, no tools, no hard skills to actually make confident choices and finish a track and be able to say, yeah, this is going to sync, or a library is going to want this. Even if that's not you yet, if you could just grasp the principles I talked about today, at the very least, recognize that as reality, then you deserve your seat in the arena. You deserve access to those library pitches, those big brand pitches, those big brand syncs, because that's the sequence. That's how the dominoes fall. This mental model, it's the entry point for appreciating the game for what it is, you know, opening doors in a sequence, one after another, and ultimately differentiating yourself from the otherwise saturated sync market. You know, I say that tongue in cheek. Differentiate yourself from the way everyone else thinks. That's the point. It's not just enough to get in and blend in with everything else. We need to stand out so we can float to the top. And that starts with how you see or how you give credence to the idea that sync is saturated. How much power are you giving that concept over your workflow? and creativity and how you navigate the sync game. How much are you letting that affect the progress that you make every single day? I hope your answer is as little as possible, but that's something that you're going to have to answer for yourself. So stay with it. Keep thinking about this. Keep playing with this idea. Because one day, you're going to carve a path for yourself that no one else is walking. It's just you in your own lane, your own pocket, crushing it with every creative decision that you make. And that's what I got for you today. If you got something out of this, please consider leaving a review. It's the best, easiest way to help grow this podcast and reach more talented, ambitious producers and artists in sync. Look, we're not in competition. We're all in collaboration. The more people we can help get up to speed, the better our network becomes. The stronger our circle of collaborators becomes. And the value of our music goes up because of those relationships. And that starts with you, sharing the gems, sharing the wealth. And I'd really appreciate it if you'd pay it forward. You can find me at syncbeast.co on Instagram. And be sure to catch the next episode, because I'm posting a ton more about how to think at the highest level of sync. It's the game I play every single day, and I want to see you win. So stay hungry, and I will talk to you soon.